I'd just like to give a hearty amen to the message we have had this morning on the amazing grace of God. Thank God for the message, the messenger, and for those of you who were blessed today to hear and receive this wonderful message of God's amazing grace. Brother Josh backed up this morning to two or three Sundays ago when he preached here, and I guess was trying to finish a sermon he started. And preachers do that a lot. And I'd like to back up this morning to last Sunday and go back to Romans chapter 12. You don't want a preacher to preach everything that's on his mind at one time. It might go on for two or three or 4 hours. And we want to spare you that. But people have asked me, how do you decide, Brother Sam, what you are going to preach on? And that's a legitimate question to ask. But I can honestly say that all these years that I've been trying to preach, I try to preach on what is on my mind. I don't try to preach on a Bible verse that's not troubling me or hasn't come to my mind, but whatever the Lord burdens me with, that's what I try to preach on. I want to go back this morning to Romans chapter 12, where the Apostle Paul, coming down to the conclusion of one of the greatest books in all the Bible, the book of Romans, would say in chapter 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren. It's very important to notice who Paul is writing to. You know, you'll never understand the Bible until you understand who is being addressed in the part of Scripture that you are reading. Would y'all agree with that? You've got to understand who is being addressed. If I get a letter in the mail addressed to Sam Bryant and you read it, you may not know what they're talking about because it's not addressed to you. It's very important to know who is talking and who is being addressed and what the subject is and what the context is. That helps a lot in understanding the Bible. So Paul is saying, I beseech you therefore, brethren. These are not his brethren according to nature. These are Gentile Christians in Rome. Paul is a Jew by nature. So these men, these people, are not his brethren in the flesh, but they are his brethren in the Lord. They are in the family of God. So Paul is not writing to them in order to get them into the family of God. He's writing to them as the family of God and encouraging them to do something. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. He's not addressing people who are dead in sin and on their way to hell. He's addressing people who have already been born of the Holy Spirit. They're in the family of God and they're on their way to heaven. Y'all see that? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. So Paul is calling on children of God to present their bodies in the service of God as a living sacrifice. In the Old Testament, under the law, Israel was instructed to present animals, slain dead animals, as sacrifices in the tabernacle and in the temple. But the law is passed. We're now under grace, as our brother has taught us. And under grace, we don't bring dead animals to offer to God, but we are to present our bodies, how? A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You may say, well, Brother Sam, I just don't think it's reasonable for God to ask me to present my body as a living sacrifice. Well, I want to give you at least two reasons this morning why I believe it is reasonable for God to ask us to be in his house on Sunday morning, and why he would ask us to present our bodies as a living sacrifice Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, all week. Is it reasonable for God to ask that of us? First of all, I'd like to notice with you a reason why I think it's reasonable. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 10 and notice in verse 5 concerning our Lord Jesus. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not. That's the old law service. But a body hast thou prepared me. Jesus is talking about the fact that his God, his Father, prepared for him a body in the womb of the Virgin Mary. A body hast thou prepared me. And we know that 2,000 years ago, Jesus came down from heaven and took up residence in that body that was being formed in the womb of the Virgin Mary. And in verse 7, Jesus says, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Now, what was God's will? That Jesus present his body on the cross as a sacrifice for the sins of all the elect family. Was Jesus willing to do that? Our brothers already told us this morning, Jesus was not driven to the cross. He went there willingly. He presented his body to be beaten, stripped, crowned with thorns, nailed to a cross, raised up from the earth, and for 6 hours he hung there in naked shame, presenting his sinless body to the Father on our behalf. Was that reasonable? No. And yet Jesus was willing to do that, which you and I could hardly begin to comprehend. He presented his body as a sacrifice, not a living sacrifice, but a sinless, dead sacrifice on the cross for Sam Bryant. So is it reasonable now for him to say to Sam Bryant, Sam, I want you to present your body to me in service as a living sacrifice? I say that's reasonable. What do y'all say? In light of the cross and what my Savior did for me on that cross, that has kept me inspired for over 50 years to keep going in the service of God. I'll tell you another reason I think it's reasonable. Paul would say to the Corinthians, he said, know ye not that you are not your own, you're bought with a price. Glorify therefore your God in your body and in your spirit, which are his. Know ye not that you are bought with a price? When Jesus was on that cross shedding his blood, he was buying us back from the enemy. He was redeeming us. He was ransoming us. He was saving us from our sins. So now, I am not my own. You know, you hear people say sometimes, well, it's my body. I can do with it as I please. You better hope it's not your body. You better hope it belongs to Jesus. And he will claim it on the resurrection morning. Do y'all agree with that? How many of y'all want to be yourself? How many of y'all hope that you belong to him, that he's going to claim you on resurrection morning as his treasure, as his beloved? Oh, brothers and sisters, I have been bought with a price. Therefore, I want to glorify God in this body and in the spirit, which is his. Oh, and let me tell you, it doesn't take long to get old. If you're ever going to serve God, now's the day to do it. You know, Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 12, remember now, not tomorrow or next week, remember now thy Creator when in the days of thy youth, while the evil years come not nigh. Beloved, the evil there is not talking about sin. It's talking about those years of inactivity. If you live long enough on this earth, your body will eventually get to where you can't go to church anymore. We have 6 members right now of our church on the homebound list. We were talking to Sister Eris Jones last night. Many of you in this house remember Sister Eris and Brother Zertis, faithful members of this church. God bless his memory, and God bless her in her homebound condition. I think about Sister Evelyn Deason. I could think about all of our homebound members today. When they were able, they were here. But those evil years have come. Those years of inactivity when they just can't come anymore. I thank God for Brother O.C. I said this morning, every time he comes, he preaches a sermon to me. He's 96 years old, will be next month. Arthritis causes him a lot of pain, but he's here presenting his body. Now, Solomon says, remember now thy creator when in the days of thy youth. Who wants to give your youth to the world, the flesh, and the devil? And when you come down to the end of your life, all you've got are the leftovers to present to your Savior and say, Jesus, here are the leftovers. I gave the best years to the flesh and the world and the devil. All I've got is the ashes of a misspent life. No, beloved, I'd say to the young people in this house today, you belong to Jesus. He bought you and paid for you on the cross. Now Paul is saying to us, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Did you know church attendance is probably the simplest and the easiest part of discipleship? I'm going to say amen to that. Getting up, getting dressed, and coming to church on Sunday morning is the easiest part of your discipleship. And if you don't do that, you're just not getting very far in your growth spiritually. Now, let's notice verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, if you're a child of God today, saved by grace and on your way to heaven, you're either conforming your life to this world, patterning your lifestyle after this world, or you're being transformed daily. And Paul is saying, I don't want y'all to be conformed to this world. I don't want y'all to fashion yourselves after Hollywood or Hollywood. I don't want you to get your dress code from AB Sewer, NB Sewer, and CB Sewer. I want you all to fashion your lives according to the Word of God. Be not conformed to this world. I mentioned last Sunday that most people will spend many, many hours during the week around coworkers that are worldly minded. They'll read the papers and watch the news and read things on the internet that are worldly. And we only spend about an hour and a half on Sunday morning here studying the Word of God together. This is valuable time, beloved, we have in the house of God. So Paul says, don't be conformed to this world, but be, listen, this world, all it's going to offer people is heartaches, tragedy. I heard last night on Huckabee an interesting little segment about Elvis Presley. I've always believed Elvis Presley was a child of God, saved by grace, born of the Holy Spirit, and I believe Elvis is in heaven today by God's amazing grace. And they were talking last night about he's the number one gospel. He has sold more gospel albums than anybody in history. And he would sit up all night. I watched a documentary about Elvis some years ago, 2-hour documentary, and they talked about how much he loved gospel music. He'd sit up all night long singing gospel songs. But he got under the influence of this world. And people who wanted to get rich off of Elvis, and they got him on uppers and they got him on downers, and he chose to do that. I'm not excusing Elvis. Elvis played the fool. He conformed to this world. And at the age of 46, he died a tragic death. I was reading this week about Princess Diana in the news. And I believe she was a good person. I believe she had a good heart. But she conformed herself to this world. And she was suffering from bulimia. She was suicidal. Let me say to everybody in the house today, this world is a wilderness. Oh, I know the devil can dress it up and make it look like an oasis or a paradise, but it's a wilderness. They don't show you the end of alcohol and drugs. They show you the beginning of it. When they advertise beer, they don't show you a man in a car wreck killing two or three people under the influence, breaking his own body up. They don't show you that. No, they show you him on a sailboat in the Caribbean with a pretty girl in a bikini. And if you had a Budweiser, you'd have all this too. That's the idea. Those are lies, beloved. Don't be deceived by the enemy. Don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Now, how is a child of God going to be transformed? How is he going to change? Well, Paul says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. God has put something up here in our heads, between our ears, that is awesome beyond words. The brain, the human brain. It is an incredible part of the human body. It is indispensable. There's parts of our body we can live without, maybe a gallbladder or a kidney. Brother Joe Nettles just gave a kidney to a friend. There are parts of your body you can live without. You can't live without your brain. You got to have it. It operates everything. And that brain is amazing. When I first saw the Golden Gate Bridge, I stood there and I was staggering in awesomeness as I looked at that incredible bridge. A human brain designed that and built it. Human brains have built our computers and our smartphones. The human brain is an amazing thing. But if you're a child of God, born of the Holy Spirit, you need to have that mind of yours renewed constantly, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Your mind. You need to keep your mind stayed on God. My granddaughter Hannah posted that this week on one of her correspondences. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Boy, that's a challenge, isn't it? To keep your mind stayed on God where there are so many distractions, but oh, what a blessing it is. Now, how much is determined about our lives before we are even born into this world? Well, we're certainly not fatalists, we're not absoluters, but I do know there's a lot about us that's determined before we get here. When I was a kid, people used to say there's a lot in the blood. Well, nowadays we say there's a lot in the DNA. And in your DNA, it's going to determine how tall you are, what color your skin is, what nationality you are. It's going to determine what family you're born in. There's a lot about us that was not left up to us to choose. Y'all get that, don't you? Some of us would have made other choices if we could have, but it's not ours to decide how tall we are, what color of skin we have. We understand that, and it's certainly not our choice what family we are born into, whether it's in the natural family or in the spiritual family. Let me tell you, you have nothing more to do in this being born into the spiritual family of God than you had to be born into your natural family. That is by grace and grace alone. So there's a lot about us that's determined before we get here. It's not our choices. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4, Paul would say, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. God chose a people in Christ before when? Before the foundation of this world. That was long before you and I ever showed up. But God in his sovereignty chose those he wanted with him in heaven, and he chose them by grace alone. That's God's choice. But you and I in this life have many choices to make on a daily basis. And one thing we can choose is what we think about. I want to go with you just a moment to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, where Paul would say, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." You see, I don't have to have the mind of this world. I don't have to have the mind of people out in the world. I can choose to have the mind of Christ. And Paul goes on to tell us the mind of Christ when he was here in the flesh. He humbled himself and became obedient. So I am to have the mind of Christ. Now let's turn over to Philippians chapter 4. And let's notice in verse 8. Paul would say, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." Paul is telling us that you and I can choose what we think about. Now, you can't help certain thoughts coming into your mind. I understand that. But we got a delete button. Just like on your computer or your phone, you can delete things that you don't want. You need to be hitting that delete button all day long. When thoughts come into your mind that you know are not moral, not healthy, not wholesome, just delete them. And then pray God will help you to think on these things. Things that are true and honest and just and pure and lovely. You and I, by God's grace, can think about those things in life. Now, God has been pleased in his goodness to reveal himself to us on this earth. I know we've never seen God visibly. We've never seen him with our natural eyes. But let me tell you, he has revealed himself to us in marvelous ways. Let's go back just a moment to the Old Testament, to Psalms, and let's look at Psalm chapter 8, one of my favorite psalms. You know, preachers are in the habit of saying, "This is my favorite verse." That can vary or change from Sunday to Sunday. But I want to tell you, one of my favorite psalms is Psalm 8, where the psalmist would say in verse 3, "When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained." One of the disadvantages of living in the city is that you're not as exposed to creation as you might be if you live out in the country. But the psalmist says, "When I consider, when I think about, when I ponder, when I just dwell on thy heavens and the work of thy fingers." I told you all that Sister Ann White called me the other night and asked me if I had seen the moon. It was one of those beautiful harvest moons, absolutely beautiful. I asked Nelda to go out on the porch with me. I held her hand. Let me tell you, that moon was hypnotic. How many of us spend much time considering God's heavens and the moon and the stars which he has ordained? Untouched by the corruption of man, unspoiled by humanity or even the devil himself. David says, "When I consider thy heavens, they belong to him, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained." God has revealed himself to us through nature. God has written two books, I've always said, the book of nature and the book of Bible, the scriptures. This week we took our grandchildren out to the zoo. And I tell you, that's amazing to go out to the Birmingham Zoo and just walk through and see all the different animals. And one of the most amazing things to me in the Birmingham Zoo is the butterfly display. And you go into this little room and you see all these different butterflies. And then James and I saw a butterfly coming out of a cocoon. A little worm crawls up, forms this cocoon, and eventually a butterfly comes out of there. Friends, that's God's work. Amen. We need to consider God's heavens and God's earth. This week I saw an interesting story about a biologist. He just died this week, 64 years of age. When he was young, he stammered. He could not talk, and he was embarrassed about it. And so he decided that he would become friends with the animals, and he did. And eventually he did get past the stuttering and became a great world-renowned biologist. But he said, I want to speak for those that can't speak, the animals. And he made a big impact on trying to protect the endangered species in Africa and Central and South America. Yes, sir, my friends, nature, the animals God created, they speak to us. In all of his majesty and glory, God designed the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air and the animals and the insects. He is an awesome God. And you and I need to study him in his nature and give him the glory and not some silly theory of evolution that it all came from random chance. Did I hear an amen? Wow. We need to put a microphone back there. You know, preachers do love to hear an amen once in a while. Of course, you don't have to amen me. I can look at your face and tell you're getting it. We serve an awesome God. He has revealed himself to us in nature. And we need to have our minds renewed constantly as we study his creation and the beauty of his creation, the handiwork of our God. But not only did he give us the book of nature, he has given us this book, the Holy Scriptures. An inexhaustible treasure is the Bible. Einstein said one time, the more I learn, the more I know what I don't know. The more I know how much I don't know. That's true of the Scriptures. Nobody's ever mastered the Bible. But beloved, you and I need to give attention to the Word of God on a daily basis. We need to have a high view of Scripture when we come to it. We ought not to come with the idea that this is just written by men. No. Holy men of God wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Every word in this, every punctuation point is a divine inspiration from God. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Nothing saddens me much more than to hear a preacher get up and start correcting the Bible, correcting the King James translation. You know, they'll say there's all these errors in it. Well, if there's one error in it, there could be 1,000 errors. And who's smart enough to figure all of that out? It is our conviction today in this church that God has preserved his word without error in the King translation for the English-speaking world. And we praise him and thank him today for the Holy Scriptures. And you and I need to be studying the Scriptures and having our minds renewed day by day by the Word of God and focus our attention on the Word of God. The Bible is full of poetry. It's full of history. It's full of prophecy. It's full of doctrine and correction and reproof and instruction in righteousness, the Word of God. Beloved, we are fully clothed and furnished when we study the Word of the living God. And we praise him and thank him for that today. And you know, when we come to church, we really want to learn. And I believe these hymns are scripturally based. I'm not going to try to defend every line in every song in this book, because these are not written, you know, by divine inspiration like the Bible. But I do believe that men and women through the centuries have been blessed to write beautiful hymns that explain to us so much that's in the Bible. So you need to get to church and you need to listen. And the Bible says that we speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Recently, I selected 3 songs in one service. And a dear, dear friend of mine told me I shouldn't do that. There's other people wanting to select songs. I shouldn't hog the song service. And that's true. I've tried to refrain myself just to one song that I select during the song service. Y'all got to be quick here. If you want to select a song, you got to be quick. Sometimes I wish we had a one-hour song service. We usually have a lot of selections we never get to. But listen, whether I select it or you select it, if I'll sit there and pay attention to the message in that song, it will speak to me and renew my mind and help me to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. In prayer, hopefully our minds are being renewed, and in the preaching of the word. Brother Josh this morning was blessed to expound to us portions of Scripture in Galatians chapter 1. And beloved, my mind was being renewed as our brother expounded those verses to me. And have you ever noticed the Bible is very bold and tells it like it is? You listen, if you're getting your moral values from the world, you're going to be very confused. These days, TV will present homosexuality as just an alternate lifestyle. It's okay to practice homosexuality. The Bible doesn't leave you in question about that. The Bible tells us it's an abomination in the sight of God. A man and a woman living together outside the bounds of matrimony, the Bible tells us that's adultery. That's fornication. The Bible tells us not to go around lying, not to go around stealing. The Bible will get in our face and tell us how we ought to live and how we ought not to live. How many of y'all still love the Bible? And don't pick and choose the Word of God like you do a buffet. Downstairs today, we'll go down there and eat, and there'll be things on the table you want and some that you don't want. And you just pick and choose. That's okay. But not with the Word of God. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Now, how many of us need help understanding the Bible? A friend of mine called me this week on the phone from Macon, Georgia. He's an accountant. He's been doing my tax returns for 35 years. He and I are the same age. I told him he couldn't die before I do. How many of y'all do your tax returns right by yourself without any help at all now? Did you know there's 4 million words in the tax code? And I suspect my tax return is as simple as it gets, and I just dread it. Nelda told him, we don't want to play anymore. He said, well, you're going to have to tell the IRS that. I need help filling out a simple tax reform. How many of us need help understanding the Bible? I see some hands going up. Well, I tell you, the best place to get help is from the author of the book, and that's the Holy Spirit. How many books today in the library, the authors are dead and gone, and you can't ask them, but the Holy Spirit is the author of this book, and you and I can say, Father, bless me through the Holy Spirit to understand this, to have light on this. And you'll be amazed how the Holy Spirit can open up scriptures for you. And you'll begin to compare scripture with scripture. And all of a sudden, maybe a beautiful thought comes to your mind that you've never had before. And then pastors are supposed to help. Paul said to the Ephesians, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And I believe the pastor and teacher there is the same one. And a pastor is to take us into the Word of God. And that's an awesome responsibility, to take somebody every Sunday morning into the Word of God. Let me tell you, there are a lot of Sundays I wish I was sitting out there where you all are. I could just come to church relaxed and not feel the burden of teaching the Word of God. Now, I enjoy trying to preach when God blesses, but let me tell you, a lot of the time I envy you all as you sit there and receive the Word. But my burden, Brother Derek's burden, Brother Josh's burden, is to present the Word of God, to teach the Word of God. And that is an awesome responsibility. God forbid that I ever misrepresent His Word. So you need to be taught. We all need help. I need help. And in this day and age, you know, we're so blessed to have recordings of great sermons that we can listen to on the internet. There's a website called primitivebaptistsermons.org. I bet you there's tens of thousands of sermons. I heard one this week from Elder Hayden Copeland, who lived up in North Alabama. What an incredible sermon that was. It fed me. Brother Copeland's been dead for years, but his voice is still with us today. And I learned a lot from that sermon that Elder Copeland preached. And I'll tell you another way you can learn the Word of God. Are you all wanting to learn Scripture? When I first joined the church at the age of 15, there were other young people in our church. And we were living pretty simple lives in those days. And we would get together in one another's homes through the week. And we'd study the Word. And it was just a wonderful time. And I used to go to Elder Ben Lord's home on a Sunday afternoon and sit there for hours as he and others would sit around and discuss Scripture together. I long for that. I hungered for that. Beloved, there are friendships being formed in this church right now that will last for a lifetime. Young people, young couples. Brother O.C. this morning at coffee downstairs was talking about people he's known in this church for 65 years. There's young people in this church today, teenagers and young couples, and you're forming friendships that'll last for a lifetime, and that's wonderful. And I would encourage you all, it would be good on a weekly basis if you could have somebody into your home, or you could go to somebody's home and just sit around. It's all right to play Uno. I like Uno. It's all right to play Monopoly, but work the Word of God in there. Just discuss Scripture. Hunger for it. You know, I love having dinner at church. I really do. It gives us an opportunity to be together. But I miss going into people's homes. When I first started pastoring, I was invited 3 or 4 nights a week. Of course, I was single. And man, we did have a lot of good cooks where I was pastoring. But we'd sit around and eat and discuss the Word of God. Turn the television off some and get into the Word and discuss the Word. And if you can't figure it out, call Brother Josh or Brother Derek. And if they don't know, we'll get together and study it. We certainly not know-it-alls. We're not be-all, end-all preachers. But we love for people to ask questions about the Word of God. So you can have your mind renewed by being in church, by studying creation, by singing the old hymns, by studying the Scriptures on your own. Oh, that's wonderful. And asking God to bless you through the Holy Spirit to understand the Scriptures. You say, Brother Sam, I just give up. The Bible is so complicated, so mysterious. How many of y'all understand how the smartphone works? Come on now. How many of y'all actually know how they build those and how they operate? How many of y'all know how computers really operate? Come on now, or the internet. I don't have a clue, but I use them all the time. Listen, I don't have to understand everything about this book to enjoy what I can understand about it. Amen? I want to encourage all of us in the house today to have our minds renewed. In Romans 15, I'll close with this. Paul said, these things are written for our learning, that we might have hope. You know why the Bible was written? To renew your mind, to help you be transformed, that you may know what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God is. And you know something, beloved? As you study the Word and live the Word, you're going to be blessed by the Word of the living God. And you'll have hope. When you read about how God helped David, how God helped Joseph, how God helped Daniel, how God helped the apostles and the sisters in the early church, you will be greatly encouraged. So, beloved, may I close today by saying, let's present our bodies a living sacrifice And there's anybody here today that really hungers to live a Christian life, you want a closer walk with God, you want to be in fellowship with the church, and you're looking for a church home, I would encourage you today to come forward and let us know, and we'll be glad to hear you and receive you into our fellowship. Do we have a selection, Brother Joshua? What number? Number 7. While we sing this selection, Brother Josh, Brother Derek, if y'all would come up and stand with me, and let's all give one another the right hand of church fellowship after the first verse today. Number 7.